The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hi, I'm Allison Risk. This is Drop Shot.
That was a cracking lunch. The other tournaments are going to have to go some to beat a cod and chorizo stew. That was special. Even if you don't like tennis, it's worth the admission price just to eat here. Perfect. I feel energized. Where's my racket? Apparently, Magdalena Rybarikova has been looking for me, as we agreed to meet at 3, but she was early. She's now gone to look for me on all the courts, so I've gone to look for her. There she is.
My name is Magdalena Rybarikova, and this is Drop Shot.
I'd love to know what you think of the grass court season.
Well, it's obviously one of my favorite seasons, and I love to play on grass. I'm here second time. So first time when I was here, I won it. So I have really great memories. And definitely looking forward for Wimbledon as well. So it's my favorite time.
Is there something special about grass? I'm British and we've been brought up to believe that it's special, but there seems to be a real connection with a lot of the players.
Definitely. But, you know, it's for someone who likes to play on grass, it's always special. For someone who doesn't like to play on grass, it's not special, you know. So I think it fits to someone's games. If it fits, it's great. If it doesn't fit, it's not great. So for me, it fits. I really love to play on grass. I love to coming to the net. So that's why I love to play on grass, and also I really like to be in England to play these tournaments, because obviously the organization is always very good here, so I feel always good here, so I love to come here.
And we lost a day yesterday. There is that great thing called the English summer, the English weather, and we're kind of used to it. We're thinking this is a really hot day, and I'm walking around with no jumper, and I think it's confusing, maybe not so much for Europeans, but for other people, the weather is a strange thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, here you never know what's going to be, and if it's going to be raining, if it's going to be sunny, if it's going to be mixed, you know. So, but for me, I always prepare for that, you know. I always take another t-shirt if the match would be cancelled or if the match would be prolonged or something. So last year was different. The weather, especially in London, was very, very hot. And actually for me, I prefer typical English weather, because the grass is faster than, and last year was totally different, and also the results were, I think, different, especially in the women's draw last year in London, where many players who likes to play on clay, they were quarterfinals, semifinals, so it was really different. So for me, it's okay. I mean, I'm always ready for the rain, always ready for the wind, so I like.
The women's game, I think, is going through a real resurgence now. I think there's a lot of interesting players coming along. There's more teenagers in the French Open last 16 or whatever. Do you notice this as a player, that there's something happening in women's tennis at the moment?
Well, I wouldn't say it's at the moment. I would say it's maybe last five years. It's totally different. Like, you just never know who is going to win. You just never know who is going to make semifinal. I can say it about myself. I did 2017, I did semifinal of Wimbledon, which probably nobody would expect, and I wouldn't expect it from myself, because I was also coming from the two surgeries and I made semifinal. So you just really never know who is going to win. Now it's now in the semifinal of Roland Garros, is very young Czech player. I mean, I'm sure she's going to be a great player, but also nobody would expect she's going to be in the semifinal. Like, so I think it's always good to believe in yourself, that especially now, that you can really achieve something, because you just really never know who is going to win the Grand Slam or the big tournament. So different in the men's draw, obviously. So yeah, it's definitely totally different than it used to be.
So do you have any sort of tips for who you think might go quite a long way that's coming up as young players, say, in your country?
We have a very good upcoming player, Victoria Kuzmova. She's like 21 and she's playing very aggressive and I think she can be a very good player. And then from other, as I said, Vondrosova, she's very talented, very good to watch. She can do a lot of things with the ball, so not one good. Anisimova and these kind of young girls, I mean, they're really good upcoming girls. Andreescu, which she made amazing results. She won Indian Wells with her age. It's incredible achievement. So yeah, there are definitely a lot of good players to watch for the future.
So do you set yourself goals, say, for the grass court season, or do you just take every day as it comes and you don't say, I want to achieve this? How do you set out for the season?
Well, with me it's difficult because I'm having a lot of time troubles with the injuries and it's all my career like this. So in the beginning maybe I had some goals, but not anymore. It's for me like just to be healthy, and then if I'm healthy then I have quite good results. But it's for me very difficult because this year I haven't been healthy at all almost. I had like stress fracture, I had a tear in my calf. So for me, I just take every tournament. If I can play, it's great. If I cannot, then I cannot, you know. So I will be 31, so also it's with the age, obviously. So I don't do goals. And I think there are many players who doesn't, you know, just wants to be healthy and just want to enjoy kind of every tournament.
And injury is a terrible thing for any sports person. Mentally, it must get very wearing as well, that you get one injury and then something else comes along. How do you deal with the things like that?
Well, I think I got used to it because, as I said, it's really all my career. I had some these troubles. Now it's even worse because the injury takes longer to heal it. You know, before it took a little bit shorter. Now it's really long to heal it. So, well, you just have to be kind of somehow positive. And I think, you know, there is not the end of the world if something doesn't go, you know. If obviously healthy otherwise, you know, to be, you know, I mean, injuries are different, to be healthy, like not to have some serious sickness or something. So that's still, I mean, great, I would say, you know. So it's good to think positive and then I think it's easier to a little bit accomplish better results after.
And lastly, what do you make of the English crowds? Do you enjoy playing in England and the crowds? They all seem to be very supportive and seem to enjoy the tennis, the ones who are out.
Definitely, yes, it's one of my favorite crowds because they are super fair and they always cheer, even you play English girl, they always cheer very, very fair and I love to play. I mean, this is really one of the favorite part of the season, and I wish I could play more tournaments over here, but it's only 4 tournaments, but yeah, definitely I love to play in England.
Which tournaments will you play for the rest of the summer? You're playing here, Surbiton?
Yes, Surbiton, then I play Nottingham, WTA, and then I would play Ilkley, probably, and London, the Wimbledon.
Well, it's been very kind of you to spend so much time chatting with us, and it's enjoyable to find a bit of insight into what makes you tick as a player. Next up for me to chat to is British player Katie Dunn. Well, you had a pretty good start today. How are you feeling after that match?
Yeah, pretty happy because I've been injured for a little bit, so I haven't played a match for a month. It was like dusting off the cobwebs a little bit. So I was nervous, but I think I handled it well.
Do you find with those sort of games, when you're dusting off the cobwebs, you start feeling through the game exactly what's happening and that things are getting better for you? Or how do you find yourself reacting to it?
I think it's more at the beginning of a match and then at the end of a match when you've got to kind of start aggressive and then obviously finish off the match and stay calm. And that's usually the tougher part when you haven't played for a while, I think. Just reminding yourself that you can do it. It's just been a while.
Well, the best way to find out if you still can do it is to win a game, though, isn't it?
Try and do it, yeah. Got to try.
So for you, what's it like being a British player through the grass court season?
In previous years, I found it tough mentally because it's, you feel like you put pressure on yourself where you don't need to because you're being given wild cards, but then you're also playing players who are ranked higher. So you feel like because you've got the wild card, you need to either take advantage of it or show that you deserve the wild card. So it's like I used to put too much on the outcome, whereas now this year I'm quite happy. I'm enjoying my tennis, so I'm not so worried about all of that. And I'm just taking each match as it comes and playing like it's any other tournament in another country and looking at it in terms of it's a block of 4 or 5 tournaments and it's such a small part of our year that it's not the be-all and end-all.
I guess that's the experience that you learn how to deal with that pressure and realise, as you say, it's not the be-all and end-all.
Yeah, for sure. I do feel a lot more... I mean, I know I can win at this level. I've won a lot of matches at this level. I feel comfortable now, whereas before it was a bit intimidating and I didn't really know if I could do it. So, yeah, definitely as the years go by, you do start getting better at it and feel like you belong.
So how much of this is skill and work and application, and how much of this is actual mental aptitude?
Both go in like together, I guess, because I've worked really hard on my mental side. Every day when I'm training, I always do reflections in the evening and things that I find tricky in certain matches. I also send that to my coach to prepare myself for when I'm in those positions. And it's just the everyday working that then gets you to be able to be comfortable and, or not comfortable, but like deal with the nerves and get over the line.
So do you think having had injuries, that actually even focuses your mind even more?
I think it brings up different like worries in your head or challenges that you have to overcome during the year. I've had like a few smaller injuries this year that have allowed me to get out and play but then stopped me. So it's been a bit stop-start and it's been more me trying to stay in a good mindset that it's okay, that it's normal, it happens. And just when you get out there, you prepare as well as you can with what you've got on the day. So,
and do you set yourself goals at all, or do you just try and live in the present?
I'm not someone who sets goals. I used to, and I found it really didn't help me. I used to set goals of making slam qualies, and every time I kind of got to a ranking where it might be close, I would not deal with the pressure very well. And the first year that I kind of didn't set goals and I just worked on day by day and being in the present, I then consequently got into slam qualies. So I'm much more on the being in the present now and enjoying what I'm doing as much as I can. Obviously there's crap days too. Probably shouldn't have used that word, but
no, you can use any word you like on Drop Shot.
I wouldn't have used crap, I'd have used a worse word.
Well, if you want to we'll do the late night version with Katie Dunn.
My coach would kill me, my mum would just laugh.
Well, maybe is your mum about?
No, you do not want to talk to her. She would not cope well with this.
How would you cope with your mum talking though?
Fine, I'd just be worried about the swear words that would come out of her mouth. So, don't know. Yeah, just read my Twitter about Julie Diaries, and then you can laugh at that.
Okay, I will. I'll check them out. So, in British tennis, I mean, we're going through, I guess, a sort of a resurgence with the British girls, you know, with everything that's gone on with Fed Cup and things. And you're part of this group of up-and-coming young British players. Do you all get on well? Do you hang out with each other? I've seen you play doubles with Harriet last year and things. Does that give you a sense of belonging and bonding?
Yeah, we're all friends, and I think it helps to be able to train with each other. And if one of us does well, we've trained with them and we've played practice sets with them, and we kind of think, well, there's nothing scary about how they're playing, so why can't I do that? And I think when you get a good group of people doing well, it's easier for then a couple of them to do really well, and then everyone kind of catches up. Or I think everyone, it's like you push each other up, and I think it's good to have, I think it would be good to have more players ranked 200 to 500, because then there will be those players that move up to the next step, and it would help the players that are 200 to 500 to think, okay, yeah, I can do that too. And I don't know, I think it, yeah.
No, it's interesting. I mean, the psychology of how you can be in competition with people but actually still be supportive. And I've noticed that more. I look at the tennis world, that there's groups of people who get on very well and support each other.
Yeah, well, I think when you're on the road, it's lonely, so you need to have friends. And I'm always going out for dinner with different people, and it's nice. It makes you feel like the tougher days aren't so bad if you lose a match with having match points or something. You've got three girls that you can go for dinner with and just laugh. Like, you don't need to be in your room crying, although sometimes that does happen too.
Okay, if you had to pick one person to go for dinner with, who would it be?
Oh, God, I can't do that.
No, okay. No. All right, so you go out. Well, no, that's good. That's as equally as valid an answer. You know, that's the thing, because that's what I mean. You do feel like a little bit of a gang.
Yeah, I'm friends with a lot of the Aussie girls as well. I've spent a lot of time there, so they always help me out when I'm over there, driving me around, having me to stay.
Brilliant. So what's your plans for the rest of the summer?
I am not sure at the moment. I'm going to play another tournament next week, and I don't know which.
But isn't that part of the process, that at a certain level, you are waiting to see how you do in this tournament before you move to the next tournament?
Yeah, for sure, because obviously Nottingham quali sign-in is on Friday, so I might miss that. Hopefully I miss that.
Well, I'll be looking forward to seeing you wherever you turn up next. My schedule today is relentless. I'm heading over to the clubhouse now, as I'm going to have a chat with American Alison Risk. I met her here last year, and she was effusive and great to chat to. Let's hope nothing's changed in a year.
Player announcement. Next match, report 6. Jennifer Brady, Caroline Dollarhide, Beth Gray, Eden Silver. Please report to court 6.
Check for levels. What did
How
you have
you?
For I'm all right, actually.
Good.
We met last year. And
yes, I vaguely remember.
Yeah. What? You were here. We were in there doing an interview, and you were shocked at the weather we were having.
Oh, that's funny. I'm surprised I was shocked, because I feel like I'm used to this weather at this point. You never know what you're going to get. So I like that that's your memory of me, though.
Yeah. Well, we had glorious sunshine, but then you were going abroad to play tournaments elsewhere.
Ah, oh yes, that's right. Yeah. Last year was my first year that I tried Sertogenbosch in Mallorca, which were both beautiful and really nice. So I'm actually going back there this year.
Yeah, but to be fair, we're back to normal British weather now.
I know, but you know what? This is the best. It doesn't get better than grass court tennis in England. You know, it really doesn't. It's where it all, you know, started for me. So it always holds a special place in my heart.
What's it like coming back as a defending champion to a tournament?
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I haven't thought too much about that. I've been fighting, you know, a lot of different things. I didn't have the most stellar clay court season, to be honest. So just to be back on my favorite surface, I felt like it was time that I started imposing my game and playing the way that I know how to play. And, you know, luckily today it worked for me. And, you know, slowly, you know, I'll be building my confidence back.
So is it really a case of, you know, literally finding your feet?
Yeah, definitely. I just think, you know, once you get the first one under your belt, it really, you know, helps you to just get going and feeling a little bit more comfortable on the grass. And yeah, I'm just so happy to be out here and playing, and to have another chance tomorrow is exciting.
So do you set yourself goals when you sort of finish one season and come into the grass court season? Do you have aims or ambitions, or do you just live in the present?
Well, I think living in the present is the key to success in tennis, but in, you know, in anything that we do. And You know, I am setting, you know, a few more goals for me on grass court, just because, like I said, my clay court season wasn't great. I didn't win one match. And, you know, I think to get back to the basics for me is really important. And, you know, looking to attack, looking to be aggressive and playing with confidence, you know, and just no matter what happens, that I'm going out aggressive and playing like I play my best.
So I guess... For you not to dwell on things, that's all gone and today's today.
That's right. And that's, you know, a lot easier said than done. I've struggled with that my whole career. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the grass court season, and it's good to be back for sure.
And it really is, everything's a mental game, because is it not? You can hit all the shots you like in the world, but isn't it string them together, yep. Consistency and mental aptitude?
Absolutely, and I think it all mental aptitude, it all starts in your head. It really does, especially out here at the top level. You know, everyone's really good, but again, you can also beat everyone, you know, and if you're there for the important moments and able to deliver and focus on what you're trying to do and not focusing on the opponent and being present, like you've previously mentioned, you know, those are all keys. And, you know, I think, honestly, keeping it simple just like that is the best advice.
And would you say that the women's game at the moment is going through a real resurgence, something that's happened over the last 4 or 5 years where anybody can be anybody on the day?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really exciting to see, too, I think. And really promising. And honestly, Jo Konta's an amazing example because, you know, she didn't have... a great year the last couple years after being top 10, but you know what, she was there mentally every single time along the way, and her game's back now, and she's in the semis of Roland Garros. And I just think obviously she's been around, but there are other players, you know, in the mix that, you know, we haven't seen before or weren't sure we're going to do that well in slams. And yeah, people are doing amazing things, and it's exciting for sure for the game.
And I guess it really helps you as well as a player that you see other people doing well, and it inspires.
Absolutely. And I think just seeing new faces that, you know, are winning matches, I think that gives you confidence as well. Just knowing that, you know, the same people aren't dictating every week, you know, and, you know, the little glimmer of hope that maybe there could be you, you know, the next week. So yeah, definitely that's part of it for sure.
Okay. So where's it off to next after Surbiton?
After Surbiton, I head to Sertogenbosch, and then I go to Mallorca, and then I head back to England for Eastbourne and Wimbledon.
Great. And just one last thing. Are there good American young players coming through at the moment?
There are quite a few great American players coming through. The young girl that I just played, Ann Lee, is one of them. And I've never played her before or practiced with her, to be honest. And I was really impressed by what I saw, and I think that she'll be one to watch for sure.
Fantastic. Thank you ever so
thank
much.
Thank you so much.
Lovely to speak to you again.
Have a good one.
And you.
Bye.
Thanks. I'm Nick Kyrgios, and this is Drop Shot.
Time violation warning, Mr.
I saw Kyrgios warming up earlier today with Kokkinakis, his doubles partner. And what I loved was watching his interaction with the kids and the crowd. He was so concerned that they couldn't see what he was up to that he removed the cordon separating them from the court and brought them all into a corner of the court to watch. I like that. I like Kyrgios. I think he's great for tennis. And waiting outside centre court, Nick Kyrgios has just finished his match, which he won. I saw the end, so I know he won, and there's a few people from the press waiting to speak to him. He's going to do this, inverted commas, press conference courtside. which is a bit of a strange way of putting it, because there's three or four journalists, there's one bench and one chair set up. So I'm not quite sure who's going to sit where, but I'm sure we'll find out. Emily's going to speak to him and see if I can get a couple of exclusive questions at the end of the press conference. Here's hoping. I'm looking forward to this.
I love London. It's very like Australia, and I like being home, so it kind of has that home vibe about it. I think hanging around with Nasty's helped a lot. I hadn't seen him in a while. I hadn't seen him since Australian Open, so seeing him was good. My best friend came from Australia, and we've just been, had that Airbnb type feel, that home feeling. I'm just trying to put my head down and do some work and just train. The grass season for me is, it's too short. It's where the sport originated from. It doesn't make sense to me why we don't have more tournaments. We don't even have a Masters event on it, which is ridiculous. But just to get out here and compete again. I've been struggling on court, and obviously Thanasi's been struggling with his body. So for us to just, obviously I've grown up with him, so to play again on the same side of the net with him, it's a special moment all the time. So I'm pretty happy that we got a win as well. I mean, I've always felt pretty comfortable on the grass. My record at Wimbledon's pretty good. I had a tough third round there last year against Nishikori. I didn't play great, but, hopefully if the stars align, I think I can definitely... I feel as if I'm one of the best grass courters in the world on my day, so I know that I can back myself under pressure on this surface. I'm not going to go into Wimbledon with too much expectation. Obviously, I want to do well. I'm giving myself the best chance. The grass courts are pretty limited here. I'm just, obviously, doubles is good for me to get out here, hit some returns and serve. I'm going to try and definitely do well. But I'm just still trying to find myself, obviously, and see what makes me happy every day. So I think just the tournament itself is pretty special. I go there and I just feel like I'm very comfortable around those grounds. I play junior Wimbledon there a bunch. I love it. It's the best tournament in the world, hands down. Obviously, Australian Open's pretty cool, but I feel like if you win Wimbledon, that's the ultimate. That's the ultimate slam you want to win. And I mean, one day it comes true, maybe, but that's not my goal at the moment. I just want to be happy. I feel like I've had some, really good memories there. I've had some fond memories. That's where it all started for me, obviously. I've had some epic matches there. I think it's just the tradition of Wimbledon's awesome. The crowd is very respectful. The courts are perfectly cut. It's just an amazing event. And, I don't even know how much longer, how many Wimbledons I will play. So I can't take these for granted. I feel like I could do better than quarterfinals at Wimbledon. I did that when I was 19 without any training, really. So, I feel like mentally is just the key. I need to go into it feeling fresh and feeling good. And hopefully if the draw's a little nicer, maybe it'd be good. Holding it together for me for 2 weeks mentally is a tough task, but I'll try my best. I definitely want to go there and have a good result, and obviously carry myself in a way that's, a good role model for people that are watching.
Get up, you in. Two quick questions.
Yep.
I've noticed you today really hanging out with the kids, enjoying their company. Do you think it's really important that we get tournaments like this where you can be approached by the kids and...
For sure. I mean, I have my own foundation back home, so this is nothing new for me. I love, playing mini tennis with kids. Like, I know there's a couple lessons going on back there that I helped out with last year, so this is nothing new for me. I feel like tennis world kind of just puts me as, this person who, is disrespectful and stuff, but this is honestly nothing new for me. I love when the kids watching me and Thanasi practice today. It was awesome. It was a great atmosphere. So, I mean, I've been doing this for years, man, so... It's nothing different.
Well, I think when you see people, how they interact with kids, that's where you realise exactly who they are. And
yep.
I found that quite an enjoyable thing. And I wish we had more of it in this country. But your foundation works with a lot of kids.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you made a good point there. I think how you deal with these, next generation is how, you are as a person. But, our foundation back home is just for disadvantaged kids or homeless kids who don't have a home. They have a home in Melbourne and... Obviously, get an education, just get their life back on track. But, I still see myself as a kid. I don't think just because I'm good at tennis and hit a ball over that doesn't make me special. So,
thank you very much. What a way to finish my time at Surbiton, getting a quick chat in with Nick Kyrgios. I thought his answers were great as well. It's been a frenetic day, really full on. But now it's time for one last dinner with my friends and wonderful hosts, Keith and Sue. Tomorrow, I head on up the motorway and get ready for Dropshot's next tournament, the Nature Valley Open in Nottingham. and Gary has promised to make an appearance there. Do I dare hold my breath? See you there. Surbiton's been memorable.
You've been listening to Dropshot, a narrative podcast series written and produced by me, Kerry Levy. Gary Hayes was my co-producer on the series, and when he could be bothered to turn up, also travelled across the UK to record it with me. Taylor Hayes is Dropshot's sound engineer, while Leon Raczynski-Gorman ably assisted on several episodes. Our podcast artwork is by Matt Alabaster, and Jimmy Goodwin composed our music. If you would like to hear more about the series, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at This Is Dropshot. This has been an original production from Highway 61 and Kerry Levy.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.